For I've had enough of this world and its pleasures. I will arise and go forth to the house of my Yah. I will arise and go forth to the house of my Father. I will arise and go forth to the house of my Yah. House of my Yah.
Shalom, and welcome to today's teaching on the Hebraic roots of Christianity, where we study first century Christianity and the faith that Jesus, whose Hebrew name is Yeshua, which means salvation, taught his disciples. And now, Hebraic roots teacher Eddie Chumney of Hebraic Heritage Ministries International.
Shalom. I'm Eddie Chumney of Hebraic Heritage Ministries, and we welcome you to today's teaching on the subject, The Principles of the Greater Exodus. This is part 13 of the series.
The ending of the exile is associated with comfort. So Isaiah 40 verse 1, comfort ye, comfort ye, my people. And then what's said about that comfort, Isaiah 40 verse 3, the voice of him that cries in the wilderness, this is the ministry of Elijah. And so speaking about the comfort that is associated with the ministry of Elijah, it says in Isaiah chapter 40 verses 10 and 11, the Lord will come with a strong hand, his arm will rule for him. And so the one that's coming with a strong hand, and his arm is going to rule. That's the Messiah. His reward is with him. The reward of the Messiah. See, this verse is quoted of Yeshua in Revelation in chapter 1, verse 7. Behold, he comes with clouds and every eye will see him. His reward is with him. Isaiah 40, verse 11. To feed his flock like a shepherd and gather the lambs. The work of the Messiah is to gather and unite the 12 tribes of Israel. So, Elijah's message is to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, to prepare for the coming of the Messiah. And Elijah's message is expressed in calling the people to come out of mixed worship. Babylon is mixed worship. The golden calf is mixed worship. The sin of Jeroboam, where he tried to worship the God of Israel, but he set up alternative places of worship in the north of Israel, in Dan, and then in Bethel, that this is mixed worship, and calling them to the Torah, as the Torah was given, calling them to follow the God of Israel by following his Torah. And so that's one element and aspect of Elijah and his ministry. And the second element is to prepare the people for the coming of the Messiah, who's going to come and gather and unite the 12 tribes of Israel. So we can see both aspects of this ministry in 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 30 and 31, where it says, Elijah said to all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And it says in the translation that he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And so the word repaired is the Strong's number 7495 in the Strong's Hebrew dictionary. It's the Hebrew word rapha, which is often translated as to heal. And so Elijah healed the altar. Now, how do you heal the altar? Well, you put proper worship upon the altar. You worship the God of Israel in the way that he said that he should be worshipped. And so then in 1 Kings 18:31, Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob. So this is the second part of Elijah's ministry, is he's going to gather the 12 stones. He's going to prepare the people's heart for the coming of the Messiah, whose work is to gather and unite the 12 tribes of Israel. And so Elijah's ministry is going to be associated with proclaiming the gathering, uniting of the 12 tribes of Israel. Now we can see that this is understood to be the task of Elijah and his ministry, is to prepare the people for the gathering, uniting of the 12 tribes of Israel by the Messiah, from the book, The Messiah Texts by Raphael Patai, on page 144. And first, it states a fact of the Bible that you could only see in the Hebrew language. And the fact is the following, that everywhere in the Bible, the name Jacob, which in Hebrew is Yaakov, is spelled in the text, in the Hebrew, without the Hebrew letter Vav. So every time you have Jacob or Yaakov in the biblical text, that his name does not have the Hebrew letter Vav, except for five places in the text that does have the Hebrew letter Vav. Then another fact, that the name Elijah, which in Hebrew is Eliyahu, that everywhere it appears in the biblical text, it is spelled with the Hebrew letter Vav, except for five places in the text that Elijah or Eliyahu's name is spelled in the text without the Hebrew letter Vav. So those two things are fact of Scripture. Now we're going to get an interpretation of those facts by the rabbis. And so they ask the question, why? And their explanation is to teach you that Elijah will come and redeem the seed of Jacob. That Jacob took the Vav from the name of Eliyahu. This is what we call a midrash. It is an explanation to give you the meaning of the text. So Jacob didn't literally take the Vav, but midrashically, Jacob is taking the Vav from the name of Elijah as a pledge. Now listen to this. Elijah will come and announce the redemption of the world to his children. Elijah's ministry is to prepare the people of the God of Israel for the coming of the Messiah, to point out to them where they're in mixed worship, to call them to worship the God of Israel in spirit and in truth, calling them to the Torah that was given at Mount Sinai, and to prepare their hearts for the gathering, uniting of the 12 tribes of Israel, and even to show the people how and the way in which it is going to come about. This is Elijah's ministry, and this is Elijah's message. And so now what we're going to do is we're going to give you a little bit more detail regarding what the scriptures have to say in the judgment of the nations, and specifically regarding the judgment that comes to this entity called in the Bible as the daughter of Babylon. And the scriptures have much to say about the judgment of Babylon, but if you look closer at the text, it says the daughter of Babylon. In Isaiah chapter 13, Isaiah 21, Isaiah 47, Jeremiah 50, 51, Revelation in chapter 18, that this daughter of Babylon has the characteristics of the historical literal Babylon by which King Nebuchadnezzar ruled over, but it's an end time nation. And so I'm going to show you the description of this daughter of Babylon, wherein I believe it is referring to the United States of America. But first I remind you that the prophecy says in Joel chapter 1 verse 15 that in the day of the Lord that the nations, Joel chapter 3 verse 2, will divide the land of Israel. And this will bring about the judgment of the nations as is outlined in Isaiah chapter 34, where it says in verse 1, come near you nations to hear. Verse 2, for the indignation of the Lord is upon all nations. So in speaking about the judgment that's going to come upon all nations, we're told the reason why in verse 8, that it's the day of the Lord, it's the day of the Lord's vengeance in the year of payback to the nations for the controversy of Zion. And it's when the nations are being judged that this period of time when they divide the land is in the day of the Lord, and they're being judged during the tribulation period, which is called Jacob's trouble, Jeremiah 30 verse 7, alas, for that day is great, it's none like it. It's the time of Jacob's trouble. And even though it's Jacob's trouble because of the conflict that he's in with Esau over the battle over the birthright in the kingship, and to whom will have the birthright in the kingship, when the God of Israel said it belongs to Jacob, but Esau wants it, that Jacob will be delivered or saved from the hand of Esau and from the nations who want to divide the land. But the nations are going to be judged. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 11. I am with you, says the Lord, to save you, though I make a full end of all nations where I've scattered you. So he's going to make a full end of nations where they've been scattered. In one of the places where the exiles of Israel have been scattered here in the end of days is the United States of America. So we're going to look at the fall and the prophesied fall of Babylon in the end of days. And we're going to look at the United States of America as the end time spiritual land of Babylon. Remember, Babylon is a term for the kingdom of darkness. And ultimately, Hasatan is over the kingdom of Babylon, the kingdom of darkness. And Babylon has many facets. And it is financial. It is political. It is religious. It is a land. And what we're going to look at is an end time spiritual land of the definition of this Babylonian system. So the prophecies is Isaiah chapter 13, verse 1, the burden of Babylon. And it says in verse 17, I will stir up the Medes against them. And so we have a prophecy that the daughter of Babylon will be at war in the end of days at the tribulation period at the time of the dividing of the land. And and the gathering, uniting the 12 tribes of Israel by the Messiah, will be in a war with the Medes. And today, the Medes are the Iranians. We can see this in Jeremiah chapter 51, verse 1. Thus says the Lord, I will raise up against Babylon a destroying wind. Verse 11, make bright the arrows. The Lord has raised up the spirit of the kings of the Medes. The spirit of the kings of the Medes. In other words, they have the attitude that the historical kings of the Medes had toward Babylon, which means they wanted to wage war against it. For his device is against Babylon to destroy it. We also see this in Jeremiah chapter 51, where in verse 1 it says, I will raise up against Babylon a destroying wind. Verse 28, prepare against her the nations with the kings of the Medes. So we have the spirit of the kings of the Medes that wants to oppose Babylon, but it's not just the Medes. It's the Medes along with the nations who are with her. So in modern day times, who might this be? Who is going to be in alliance with Iran against the United States that would come against her? Well, we're looking at nations like Russia, China, North Korea, and others. Well, the prophecy is in Jeremiah chapter 51 that Babylon falls in the day of trouble, in the day of the Lord. Jeremiah 51:1, I will raise up against Babylon a destroying wind. And it says in verse 2 that they will empty her land, for in the day of trouble they shall be against her round about. So this end time entity, the daughter of Babylon, the end time spiritual land of Babylon, falls, and it's a time associated with the vengeance of the Lord, and his vengeance is associated with the day of the Lord, which is associated with the dividing the land. Jeremiah 51:1, I will raise up against Babylon a destroying wind. Verse 11, it says, make bright the arrows. The Lord has raised up the spirit of the kings of the Medes, for his device is against Babylon to destroy it. And then it gives you a time reference. It is the vengeance of the Lord. So the time of his vengeance is during the tribulation period when he's judging the nations for dividing the land of Israel and the city of Jerusalem. And so now in Isaiah 13, verse 1, it says the burden of Babylon. We see the judgment is associated with the tribulation period because it says in verse 8, pangs and sorrows shall take hold on them. They will be in pain as a woman that travails. And so this period of time is also called the day of the Lord. Isaiah 13, verse 1 speaks of the burden of Babylon. Verse 6, it says, for the day of the Lord is at hand. So this end time spiritual land of Babylon, called in the scriptures the daughter of Babylon, it's cut off during the tribulation period as a part of the judgment of the nations for dividing the land, and it's cut off in the time of harvest. Jeremiah 50, verse 16, cut off the sower from Babylon and him that handles the sickle in the time of harvest. Well, Yeshua explained in Matthew chapter 13, verse 39, that the harvest is the end of the age. So cut off Babylon in the end of the age, at the time of the end of this age, when we're transitioning into messianic times. Now, the prophecy is that when this end time spiritual land of Babylon, the daughter of Babylon, which is likened to the historical Babylon of old under King Nebuchadnezzar, that when it falls, there will be people living within it that will be fleeing from it. Jeremiah 51:1, I will raise up against Babylon a destroying wind. And it says in verse 45, my people, that would be Jacob, that would be people that believe in the God of Israel, that believe in Yeshua as the Messiah, my people, go out of the midst of her. So then we are told regarding this prophecy of Babylon, Jeremiah 50, verse 16, for fear of the oppressing sword, they shall turn everyone to his people, and they will flee everyone to his own land. Now, verse 50, you that have escaped the sword. So the sword is going to come upon the land, and we're told about his people who are escaping the judgment or the sword that has come upon the land. And the instruction is, go away, stand not still, remember the Lord afar off, and let Jerusalem come to your mind. You're to flee the land and return and go to the land of Israel. You're going to let Jerusalem come to your mind. Jeremiah 50, verse 4, in those days and at that time, that is a term for the day of the Lord. It's an idiomatic expression for the day of the Lord. So in the day of the Lord, as Babylon is being judged and fallen, the children of Israel, that's the northern kingdom, that's Ephraim, that's the 10 tribes, that's the house of Joseph, they will come, they and the children of Judah. That's the southern kingdom. That's the house of Judah. That's the Jewish people. And the house of Joseph and the house of Judah will come together from in Babylon. And they will seek the Lord their God. That's the Messiah. And they will come with weeping. That is in sorrow and tears and repentance and even for what's happening in the land. And so we're told that there's a large contingent of the people of the God of Israel in this end time spiritual land of Babylon that's falling, and his people in that land are being told to let Jerusalem come to their mind. And so what would we call the people of the God of Israel that's living in this end time spiritual land of Babylon, or the daughter of Babylon? We would call them Jews and Christians. And we're told about them that they're going to ask the way to Zion, Jeremiah 50 verse 5. So why do you ask someone about something? It's because you don't know. What are they pursuing? Where are they ultimately supposed to go? They're supposed to go to Zion. And what then is the Zion that they're fleeing to? Well, Zion is a term for the Messiah, who is our rock. Zion is a term for the covenant that was made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Zion is a term for believing the covenant promise and believing that there was a land that was promised to the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Zion is a term for the people that want to follow the God of Israel and follow his ways. That's his Torah. And the way in the new covenant that you follow his Torah is by his Spirit, Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 33, Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10. So that's really what the people in their heart are asking for, what they're really wanting to find, what they're seeking to find. And so the conflict that we see literally, physically taking place in the land, over the land, the Bible calls the controversy of Zion. And in the conflict regarding the land itself, it is prophesied in Joel chapter 3, verse 6, that the children of Judah, that's the Jewish people, will be removed from their border. In other words, they'll be kicked out of their homes. And this has already happened in certain instances in the West Bank and Judea Samaria. It has happened in the Gaza in August of 2005. Now, Joel chapter 3, verse 6, it says, "The children of Judah and the children of Jerusalem have ye sold to the Grecians, that ye might remove them far from their border." Well, who here would be the Grecians? Well, we're told in Ezekiel chapter 35 that there's a prophecy there against Esau or Edom, who's called Mount Seir. That's because historically, Esau, in the book of Genesis, we're told in Ezekiel 36 verse 8, that he lived in Mount Seir, which was a place of cave dwellings. Well, in the Hebrew language, the way you say a male goat is Seir. And so within the place for Esau, who is named Seir, we have the word Seir. And so you have the same letters in the Hebrew language. And so Jacob, the people of the God of Israel, is likened to sheep. And those who oppose Jacob, Esau, he's likened unto a goat. And so we are told in the book of Daniel, in Daniel in chapter 8, verse 21, that Greece is likened to a goat. So Esau is likened to a goat. Greece is likened to a goat. So those who are Esau, or who side with Esau or practice after Esau's ways, which is Grecian, that's who Judah is being sold to. It's being sold to those who are standing with Esau and the nations who are standing with Esau in proclamation of Ezekiel 36, 1 and 2, that Esau wants to make the mountains of Israel his possession. And so this is what the prophecy is saying, that the Jews in the land are being removed from their border. They're being kicked out of their homes. And so then we see in Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 17, "I will restore health unto you." And so exile is likened to a wound. I'm going to restore health. That's ending the exile. And I'm going to heal you of your wound. The wound's the exile. The healing is the end of the exile. So the God of Israel declares that he's going to end the exile of Jacob. He's going to end the exile of northern kingdom, southern kingdom. He's going to end the exile of Joseph and Judah because they, the nations of the world, called you an outcast, saying, "This is Zion, which no man seeks after." In other words, the nations of the world don't believe like you do. They're not pursuing this path. They're not following this belief system. Well, in the Hebrew, where it's translated, "They called you an outcast," they called, it's the Strong's number 7121 in the Strong's Hebrew dictionary. It's the Hebrew word kara. And kara means to approach and speak to in a challenging or an aggressive way. So outcast is the Strong's number 5080 in the Strong's Hebrew dictionary. It's a Hebrew word nadak, which means to drive out or expel. So in the Hebrew, it's saying that the God of Israel is going to restore health to his people. He's going to end the exile because they're approaching his people in a challenging and aggressive way to drive them out. What's the aggressive way that they're saying? They are in aggressive way saying that you need to make possible a Palestinian state based upon 67 borders with East Jerusalem as its capital. So the prophecy is when the nations stand with Esau to do this, that's when the God of Israel is going to end the exile of his people. So in the conflict between Jacob and Esau, given that Esau is likened or characteristically associated with a goat, there's a prophecy in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 13, that the sons of Zion, meaning those who believe and seek to follow the ways of the God of Israel, believe the covenant that was made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, believe that Yeshua is the Messiah, and they seek to follow his Torah, that the sons of Zion will be in conflict with the sons of Greece. It says, when I've bent Judah for me and filled the bow with Ephraim, so it's talking about Judah and Ephraim, Judah, southern kingdom, Ephraim, northern kingdom, and I raised up your sons, O Zion. So those within Judah and Ephraim who believe in the covenant that was made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and want to follow the Torah of the God of Israel and ultimately believe that Yeshua is the Messiah, they are the sons of Zion. And they will be in conflict with the sons of Greece, that is Esau, and those who oppose the God of Israel, the covenant that was made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So in the sons of Zion opposing the sons of Greece, when the sons of Greece come in and oppose and declare and recognize a Palestinian state based upon 1967 borders with East Jerusalem as its capital, the sons of Zion will rise up against the sons of Greece. And this is what happened historically from the book of Daniel when you had a Greek ruler named Antiochus Epiphanes who he tried to impose Greek rule and Greek ways upon the known world at that time. And this included the area which we call today the land of Israel. And there was a declaration that you must follow Greek ways under penalty. And you also, in following Greek ways, that you cannot follow the Torah of the God of Israel. Historically, there was a group of people, a group of priests who rose up in opposition to this imposition. They were known as the Maccabees. And so their victory in the conflict is celebrated by the holiday of Hanukkah, which means dedication. That there's going to be a prophetic repeat of this associated with the end of the exile of the 12 tribes of Israel in the greater Exodus, that the sons of Zion will rebel against the sons of Greece when the sons of Greece try to impose a Palestinian state. In their rebellion, they will stand for the covenant that was made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And in the physical, in the natural, they will declare biblical Zion. And we are told about biblical Zion being born in one day at the time of the day of the Lord that is associated with the tribulation period and Jacob's trouble. Isaiah chapter 66, verse 8, it is written, who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? So the prophecy is a nation being born in one day. In the text, what is the name of that nation? It's Zion, because it says, as soon as Zion travailed. So the nation being born is called in the text Zion. And it says, as soon as she travailed. Travail is a reference or an allusion to the tribulation period or Jacob's trouble, that this nation, Zion, is going to be born during the tribulation or Jacob's trouble, the darkness part of the day of the Lord, that as soon as she travails, she's going to bring forth her children. Who are her children? They are the ones who believe in the covenant made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They're the sons of Zion.
Well, that's going to conclude part 13 of the series on the subject, the principles of the greater Exodus. Shalom in Yeshua the Messiah. Amen.
Thank you, Eddie. This is Stephen Morgan, and all of us here at Hebraic Heritage Ministries pray that you have enjoyed today's teaching. If you've been blessed, will you help us to share this message with others? Hebraic Heritage Ministries is supported by your generous financial gifts. In order to help you in your studies and to help us share this message with others, we are offering today the DVD, Yeshua the Lawgiver, for free for a love gift of any amount to the ministry. Hebraic Heritage Ministries also offers a monthly discipleship program. If you are interested in starting a fellowship group in your area, let us know. We would like to help you. Please contact us for more details. Our website is hebroots.org. That's HEBROOTS.ORG. We would like to hear from you. Please send us an email. Finally, in order to take advantage of today's free offer, please mention this product offer and please mail your love gift to Hebraic Heritage Ministries, P.O. Box 81, Strasburg, that's Strasburg, Ohio, 44680. Until next time, may Yeshua richly bless you.